Please turn to Philippians chapter 4. Now we'll try to finish a little earlier today. I know that many of you are going to that funeral service, so we will try and be a wee bit shorter today. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 14. We're drawing near to the end of these studies. Indeed, next Lord's Day will be our concluding message in the book of Philippians. But let's see what we read here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Verse 19, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow just in a wee word of prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to consider God's precious truth. Father in heaven, we cast ourselves upon thee. We do pray, Lord, that now you'll come and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. O God, we pray for that word in season. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word, and we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And O God, we believe, therefore, that you have a message for us today from this passage of scripture. Come, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Our Lord, we need that fresh touch from heaven. O God, we just commit our way to thee. Bless every head bowed in your presence. You know every need. O God, come and meet us all at the very point of our need. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The subject that I want to deal with for a few moments at the end of this service is simply entitled Philippi, the giving church. Philippi, the giving church. There's no doubt that the church at Philippi loved and respected the Apostle Paul. And Paul, of course, was well aware of their love towards him. Just turn back to chapter 1 of Philippians. Let us remind ourselves again of what Paul said about this church in this chapter. Look at chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You see, throughout the history of the church at Philippi, Paul had precious memories of them, and he had enjoyed sweet fellowship with them in the gospel. It was, of course, through Paul's ministry that this church at Philippi came into being. Indeed, Paul had led many of them to Christ. Therefore, it was evident that not only did Paul love them, but they also had a deep love and affection for him. And they never forgot the Apostle Paul, because throughout Paul's ministry, they sent gifts to support him in the work of God so that Paul's own personal needs might be met. And that's what we have here in our text at the end of Philippians chapter 4. Very simply, at the end of this chapter, we see that the church at Philippi were a giving church. Now, as we come to consider this subject today, I pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, especially those of us who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. As I've said there, I want very simply to preach on the subject Philippi, the giving church. And I want you to see from this passage of Scripture that I've read how giving they were, how supportive they were, especially to the Apostle Paul. First of all, I want you to notice that they were a very generous church when it came to giving and supporting the apostle. The church at Philippi were very generous in their giving, especially, as I have said, to the Apostle Paul. Indeed, at one point during Paul's life and Paul's ministry, the church at Philippi were the only church that sent gifts to the apostle. Take a look what it says there in verse 15. And underline the words. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I, that was Paul, departed from Macedonia, no church, underline that, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And this was not the only time the saints at Philippi had sent gifts to Paul. When he was in Thessalonica, they sent gifts to the apostle. Look at verse 16. It says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities. And look at what Paul said concerning their giving in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me has flourished again. Such was the giving of the Philippian believers that Paul had lack of nothing. Look at verse 18, underline these words. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So time and time again, this congregation, and of course, as we all know, this congregation is made up of the saints of God. But this church, these saints, time and time again, were generous, looking after the Apostle Paul and sending him gifts. Now, obviously, these gifts that were sent by the church at Philippi to meet Paul's needs were given initially by the saints in the weekly offerings that they tithed when they tithed their income to the work of God. But you can see here the generosity of this congregation. You know, child of God, giving to God's work is a scriptural principle. Indeed, tithing to the work of God is clearly taught in the Word of God. I'm sure if you're familiar with the Scriptures, that this will be something that you will know. Abraham gave God tithes of all that he possessed. Jacob also promised that he would give the tenth of his possessions unto God. And in 2 Chronicles 31 verse 5, we read that the children of Israel brought the tithe of all their income and give it to the Lord. And of course, this principle of tithing was brought through into the New Testament as well. Indeed, the Apostle Paul himself commanded God's people in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just take a look at that portion of Scripture very quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, we read these words. Here we have Paul, and he's writing now to the church at Corinth, and he comes to speak to this church, and this is what he says to them in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Child of God, as we give to God's work, let us be like the saints at Philippi. Let us give generously, as God has prospered us. But also, let us give cheerfully to God's work. I believe that the church at Philippi not only give generously, but they also give out of a cheerful heart. This is how we ought to give our tithes and our offerings unto the Lord. This is the way that we ought to give to the work of the Lord. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, Paul commanded the saints at Corinth to be cheerful givers. Not only did he command the church at Corinth to lay aside every week, but he also told them as they laid aside every week to give cheerfully. Look what it says there in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Underline those words at the end of the text. It says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And of course, I'm sure you're familiar with the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 8. The Lord says, freely ye have received, freely give. I thank God for this congregation in Bethel, because they have always given well to the work of God, especially when it comes to missionary work. And it's encouraging to see how you give to the missionaries. And I pray that you will continue to do so. Here we have a church at Philippi, and they were generous in their giving. And as they give to the work of God, they give, I believe, cheerfully. And we're going to see that that was the case just in a moment. You see, if you take a look again at verse 18, I want you to notice, secondly, that their generosity was well-pleasing to God. And that's very important. And it's brought out here in this passage of Scripture. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now listen to this. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I want you to underline the last line there. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That sentence there is describing how God was well-pleased with their giving. Now, child of God, there are many ways in which you and I can please the Lord. And there are many ways in which we should seek to please the Lord. We can please the Lord in our walk. Indeed, we must please the Lord in our walk. Colossians 1 verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Also, we can please and must please the Lord by our faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Also, we must please the Lord through our praise. Hebrews 13 verse 15 and 16 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And also, we can and must please the Lord by surrendering our lives completely to him in his service. Romans 12 verse 1 says, it's a text I'm sure that you're all familiar with. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. So there's many ways whereby we can and must please the Lord. But also we can and must please the Lord by our generous and cheerful giving to the work of God. The giving of the church at Philippi to meet Paul's needs is described here in verse 18 as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, it's important that you see that in the context. It's important that you read that in the light of what is being taught here in this portion of Scripture. You know, some people think that money and offerings should never be mentioned in the church. Well, here we have the Apostle Paul, and he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember that. He's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God here is guiding the Apostle what to write here. We're reading God's word, God's precious truth. And here the apostle draws our attention to the generous giving of this church. And he draws our attention to the fact that God is well pleased with their generous giving. God blessed this gift because it was given from the heart. This gift, or these gifts, were accepted in God's sight. They were well pleasing to the Lord. Is God really interested in what we give to his work? Well, the answer to that question is yes, he is. Does God know what we give, child of God, to his work? Yes, he does. I want you to keep your hand in Philippians chapter 4 for a moment, and I want you to turn over to Mark's Gospel chapter 12. In Mark's Gospel chapter 12, we have a very interesting passage of Scripture. Take a look with me there at verse 41 of Mark chapter 12. Now take the time to turn the portion of Scripture up, because it's so important and so vital that you read these verses for yourself. Look what it says in Mark 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, that's the Lord Jesus, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, underline those words, even all her living. Now, there's many truths that we could glean from that passage of Scripture, but I just want to point out two very quickly. First of all, Christ was observing what people were giving to his work. Now, that is seen there very clearly and very evidently can be seen in this passage of Scripture. The Savior was watching what they were giving. Child of God, the Lord is still watching what we are giving. The Lord still sees what we give, and he is interested in what we give. And secondly, Christ was well pleased with what the widow gave. Although she only cast in two farthings, which are two mites which made up a farthing, she had cast in all that she had, compared to the rich man who had only given of their abundance. Now, there's no doubt that the rich man that day had cast in more than a farthing. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. But the truth is this, and that's the truth that the Savior was bringing out here and seeking to teach his disciples, was this, that this poor woman, she had given more than all the rich men together, put together. Because although they had given out of their abundance, she had given every last penny that she had. She had given all. And my friend, you can't give any more than all. Whether you have just two mites, a farthing, you can't give any more than all. And as this poor widow went in to give her gifts to God, she put her hand in her pocket. And all the money that she possessed, she took it out of her pocket and she gave it to the work of God. Therefore, this widow was overwhelmingly generous, because although she had only two mites, she gave all that she had. She only had two mites. My friend, you can't give any more than what you have. But the question is this: is our giving well pleasing to the Lord? Is our giving an odor of a sweet smell? Is it a sacrifice acceptable unto God? Well pleasing to the Lord. That's the challenge, I believe, from this passage of Scripture today. Now turn back again to Philippians chapter 4, because there's something else I want you to notice. I want you to notice, thirdly, that God blessed them for their generosity. God blessed the church at Philippi for their generosity. Look at verse 19. And you've got to read verse 19 in the context of the verses before. Sometimes we read this verse out of context. But it's so important, child of God, that you read verse 19 in context. You must read the preceding verses and then come to verse 19. Look what verse 19 says. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now it goes without saying that these saints at Philippi were not giving to get. Now, that's very important. I don't believe for one minute that was their motivation. They give to God, as we have already seen, out of the goodness of their heart. But God blessed them for it. Paul says here in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. Now, I have no doubt that the Christians in the church at Philippi, they had many needs. I have no doubt that the church itself had many needs. But here the Apostle Paul comes to speak to them. And on the basis of their generosity, God would be generous to them. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul speaks here with certainty. This verse is a verse spoken with certainty. Certainty that God would supply all their needs. And Paul says this on the basis of their willing and generous giving to Paul's needs. Giving to Paul's needs. Child of God, if the church looks after the missionaries, then God will look after the church in the home front. I believe that. And if you and I, child of God, give our tithes and our offerings to the work of God, as God in his word commands us to, God will look after us. That's the promise that's found here in this passage of Scripture. Look exactly at what Paul says in the text. He says, my God, underline that, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, Hudson Taylor once said, when you do God's work in God's way for God's glory, it will not lack any supply. It will not lack any supply. In other words, God's work will lack nothing when done in God's way. Well, let me add to what Hudson Taylor said. When we do God's work in God's way for God's glory and give to him generously and cheerfully what is due to God, then you and I will not lack any supply. For God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My friend, I have never been in want. Have you ever been in want? And from the first day I was saved, I was taught to tithe my income. Now, in those days, I didn't have much income to tithe, let me tell you. After my mother took the rest of it, I hadn't much left for myself. But I never wanted one thing. And you know, I never will. Now, I'm not going to be a millionaire. I can't see that happening in the foreseeable future. But I'll always have my needs met. And child of God, if you give to God's work what you're due to give to God's work, the tithe and the offering, you'll never be in want. Because God has promised that he will supply our every need according to his riches and glory. No one will ever lose out by giving to God. Take a look at Mark chapter 10 for a moment. There's a tremendous portion of Scripture here. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. It says, then Peter began to say unto him, that's unto the Lord Jesus, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Do you see that? Young person, give your life to Christ today in full-time service. You're wondering what to do with your life. Maybe you're making plans for your future. You want to get a good job. You want to earn plenty of money. You want to be successful. Listen, give your life to the Lord. Surrender your all to him. You say, well, there's not much profit in that. I'm not going to become rich if I do that. I'm not going to have a fancy house if I do that. I'm not going to have fancy things if I do that. Well, first of all, you don't know what you're going to have. But I'll tell you this, even if you were to give it all up and have nothing, as far as this world's material things were concerned, even if you were to give it all up and have nothing, as far as this world's riches are concerned, listen, you would receive 100-fold. Not only in this life, look what the verse says at the end of it, but in the world to come, eternal life. Oh, we've only one life, it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last. Maybe you say, I haven't got much to give. Maybe you say, I haven't got anything to give. Well, you can give yourself. You can give your life today. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And of course, C.T. Studd said this in relation to giving his life as a missionary. And he gave his life as a missionary. He served the Lord. Did he lose out? He certainly did not lose out. He won many souls to Christ. And when he died and went home to glory, he heard that, well done, thy good and faithful servants. Oh, I know we can't all be missionaries and we can't all be full-time workers. But if you give your life, young person, to the Lord will take your life up. And you can be a missionary. You can be a full-time worker. And I know there's others here, and because of age, you just can't be a missionary anymore as far as going out into full-time service is concerned. But listen, we can all do one thing. We can all give. We can all give to God's work, and God's work needs it in this day and age in which we live. God's work needs it. Remember this, very few of us will give the widow's mite. You say to me, preacher, I've given far more than the widow's mite. Let me tell you something. I haven't given the widow's mite. I haven't given the widow's mite. Because the widow's mite means giving it all. Clearing out the bank account. Having no money in your pocket. Very few of us will give the widow's mite. But let us give what we can. Let us give to the Lord what is due him. Oh, here we have a passage of scripture, child of God, that challenges us. Now, it challenges us in an area that we don't like to be challenged. The truth is, the last thing we want to give up is what we have in our pocket. Preacher, talk about anything but what I have in my pocket. You know, that's the truth. That's the truth. But oh, I pray today that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, and that what we give to his work will be well pleasing in his sight, for Jesus is still standing at the treasury and he's still watching. Let us all pray.